All right, maybe you could just state again, just so in case you change your mind later, that you're allowing us to record this call so long as we don't give out any of your personal information.
Data. Yes.
Okay, and so you think that we're wrong about Vatican II teaching heresy?
I don't know, 100% yes.
Have you read Vatican II?
I've read portions of that. I don't have to read Vatican II to know that it was canonically approved.
Are you a...
John the 23rd was elected the same exact way by similar cardinals in the same conclave as Pius the 12th. And to my understanding, Jesus still says to Peter, you can bind and loose on earth. And it does include to loose. I'm not talking about defined dogma or doctrine. I'm talking about cultural or small-t traditional situations.
Right, you would agree that
don't understand.
You would agree that if someone contradicts a dogmatic teaching of the church, that
yes.
that person is teaching heresy.
Yes.
Okay, so you would agree that that could happen to a bishop, a priest, or even a man claiming to be a pope, right?
The pope is the pope is a supreme vicar of Christ on earth.
Right, but are
he
you
has the authority
you believe that it's possible
to preach morals? No, it's impossible because the Holy Spirit protects the Pope from teaching error.
Well, see, that those are two distinct issues. The issue of a true pope being protected from teaching error in certain capacities is a different issue from whether he can personally fall into heresy without teaching error on the church.
The Holy Spirit would not allow it.
Well, see, according to the doctors of the church, men the church has canonized
yes.
and declared doctors, they say that if a pope were to become a heretic, okay, he would lose his office automatically.
Well,
therefore, the very fact that they're teaching that...
Because I've never come across
it. It's on our website, St. Robert Bellarmine, St. Alphonse Liguori. Do you have the book, The Catholic Controversy, by St. Francis de Sales? Have you ever read that?
I've read it.
Okay, it's in there. He says it right in the book.
But the thing is, it's not meticulously put, and it's not defined in a specific way. And besides, Bellarmine is not a definitive doctor of the church.
Well, no, it's let me respond to that.
With the Immaculate Conception, are you going to disagree with the Immaculate Conception because Aquinas had a reason for disagreeing?
No, but when the doctors of the church teach something which is perfectly in line with Catholic dogma, as in this case, it's a Catholic dogma that heretics, all heretics, cease to be members of the church automatically because you can't be part of the church if you don't have the faith of the church. Now, let me ask you this: are you aware that there have been over 40 anti-popes in Catholic history?
I don't know. I haven't counted yet.
That's a fact.
Oh, there have been some.
That's a fact. Men who even were reigning in Rome, like
sure.
Anacletus
Avignon,
II.
There's been probably three during the Avignon Papacy. And
well, there were three claimants, two antipopes.
Middle Ages, earlier. I don't know.
Right, so you would agree it's possible for a man to be sitting in the Vatican who is not the legitimate pope, posing as the pope.
Sure, it's possible
okay.
that it's going to snow
well,
tomorrow.
Well, if we examine... Okay, the documents of Vatican II, and you mentioned you haven't read them. Vatican II teaches numerous blatant heresies.
Give me one.
Sure.
I ask for one.
Yeah, we have a whole article, but Vatican II teaches
I'm
that...
I'm a simple kind of guy.
Vatican II teaches...
one defined dogma.
That's what I'm going to do if you'd let me answer.
Well, it's a both you and I discussion. It's not just you, right?
Well, actually, I've been letting you speak quite a bit.
One defined dogma that Vatican II has discarded.
That Jews are rejected by God. Okay.
And that's a dogma that's been defined?
It's a defined dogma by the Council of Florence. Well, if you'd let me speak, so you're not allowing me to even answer your question.
Go ahead.
Florence defined
okay. Give me
this. This is from the Bull Cantate Domino, which is an ex-cathedra statement. Quote, therefore it, the Church,
right.
condemns, rejects, anathematizes and declares to be outside the body of Christ whoever holds opposing or contrary views. Okay, so it's dogmatically defined that the Church rejects all people who hold contrary views. That includes, obviously, Jews.
Well,
Vatican II teaches...
And how do you define reject?
The very word...
Visit them?
What's that?
How do you define reject?
The Church holds... Actually, the word there comes from the verb reprobate. Okay, so it's to, they're in a state of damnation. They're in a state in which they would be eternally reprobated and rejected by God for all eternity should they die in that state. They're in a state of reprobation. And that's actually the verb reprobo, I reject. That's the verb that's used there.
I agree with that.
Okay, and now, Vatican II teaches in Nostra Aetate number 4 on the Jews that the church, let me get the exact quote, although the church is the new people of God, the Jews should not be presented as rejected or cursed by God. And actually the very verb it uses comes from reprobate.
But
it's teaching the exact same thing.
But again,
that's heresy.
But you have to agree with me on the fact that there is no defined dogma concerning what you're bringing up in Florence.
Absolutely, I just quoted it. That's a defined dogma. That is
a
dogma. Yes, it is.
Then you're going to consider every canon of every council a dogma.
Every canon of every council which deals with faith or morals, which must be believed by the universal church, yes, is a dogma.
No. Any doctrine, Eucharist, okay, Eucharist. We agree about the Eucharist, right? Flesh, body, blood, soul, and divinity, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. Pre-clips it up.
Obviously.
You know, after the consecration, that's God. Pope can't say it isn't, ever.
What's your point?
That's my point. I'm saying to you that any canon in Scripture is not equal to that kind of...
I didn't quote anything from Scripture. I quoted a dogmatic teaching from the Council of Florence.
Can
you name the first council of the church?
That's not a dogma.
Can you name the first council of the church?
Pardon me?
Can you name the first council of the church?
The first council of the church?
Yeah.
How hard is that?
Well, I'm asking you, can you name it?
Well, it's not that hard.
Therefore, you should be able to name it. What's that? No, it wasn't in 331. You can, it's obvious. So what I'm telling you is that's why you need let me explain to you what Catholic teaching is, because you don't know. Okay, and you're trying to tell me what it is, and you don't know the first thing about it. That's what I'm telling you.
I know.
And we talk to people like this all
the
time. Then name the first one. Name the first council. You can't. And you're telling me what Catholic teaching is. You don't know the first thing about Catholic teaching.
Because I'm an apologist. Do you have any idea who I work for?
You're an apologist.
The Diocese of Chicago.
Okay, and you can't name the first council of the church.
About.
Okay, so therefore you should be able to easily tell me what the first council of the church was, right?
Yeah, I should, exactly.
And you can't.
I can tell you all of them.
You can't. It's obvious. All right, now, the point is that you don't understand Catholic dogma. When a council proclaims something on faith or morals to be believed by the universal church... Okay, that is a dogmatic and infallible teaching.
Can you hold on 1 second, please?
Okay.
Some problems. I don't record. I just write down some stuff that I just want to remember for later. I just want to make sure that I have... Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so this statement... that where the Council of Florence says that the Holy Roman Church rejects all who have opposing views,
right?
That's infallible. That's dogmatic. That's a part of faith or morals. That's a part of Catholic teaching which cannot be changed or contradicted. And it ties in, of course, with the dogma, outside the church there is no salvation, which the same bull defined, which taught that all who die as Jews go to hell. Do you believe that?
That all Jews go to hell.
All who die as Jews.
That's between the Jews and the deity. I'm not...
Well, no, the church has said that all who dies, and Jesus Christ taught all over the gospel, that's the main feature of John's gospel, that if you don't believe in him, you will not be saved.
Right.
Do you accept that dogmatic teaching?
Where is the... Are you talking about a conciliar dogmatic teaching? Are you talking about a local synod teaching? Or are you talking about an ecumenical council?
That, it's been taught... in infallible papal bulls, it's been taught in numerous ecumenical councils, it's been taught in dogmatic encyclicals, it's been taught for 2,000 years of Catholic history and defined as a dogma many times. It's a well-known dogma. Outside the church, there is no salvation.
Well, yes. And
you don't accept that.
You also have to understand that that's not, you know, there's you're taking it very literally. You're taking it as if, you know, sure, Luther and Calvin, they have... They're anathematized. That has not changed. the fact of the matter, people living today, they have no way of knowing or, you know, of what happened, and they can't be, you know, just like the Jewish people of today cannot be, you know, cannot be judged by what the fathers did or their ancestors did in 33 A.D.
What you're saying is modernism.
What are you trying to say?
Tell you what the Catholic Church teaches,
okay,
which you're not right now accepting, which is that all who die as non-Catholics go to hell. That's a truth of faith.
No, I don't
which,
believe that.
Well, you don't believe in the teaching of the Catholic Church.
The Catholic Church doesn't teach that.
Yes, it does.
No, it does not.
I can read it to you.
Okay.
Pope Eugene IV, Council of Florence, ex cathedra, the Bull Cantate Domino, 1441. The Holy Roman Church firmly believes, professes, and preaches that all those who are outside the Catholic Church, not only pagans but also Jews, heretics, and schismatics, will not become participants in eternal life, but will depart into the everlasting fire, unless before the end of their lives the same have been added to the Church, and that nobody can be saved no matter how much he has given away in alms, and even if he has shed blood in the name of Christ, unless he abide within the bosom and unity of the Catholic Church. That's dogmatic, unchangeable truth.
Right.
And see, when the Church defines a dogma, it's not making something true in 1441 or whenever it's been proclaimed.
Right.
It's telling you that this is the truth.
That's not dogma, though.
That is dogma.
What's the first name? My name's Rob.
Brother Peter.
Brother Peter. Where are you? What is your definition of a dogma?
A dogma is a truth of faith or morals which has
right.
been revealed by Jesus Christ.
Right. But can a pope... Can a patriarch say something authoritatively in a council with the exclusion of it being a dogma?
Yes. Not everything that's stated in the sessions of certain councils would qualify as a dogmatic teaching.
What makes you the arbiter of what is a dogma and what isn't?
The church is the arbiter. The church is the arbiter, and the church has said, like at Vatican I, for instance, it explained what the criteria are for a pope to speak infallibly, and it also has taught many times what something has to be in order for it to qualify as dogmatic. So if it meets certain criteria, then it is dogmatic. If it's dealing with the government of the church, such as how many hours you have to fast before communion, that's disciplinary. Popes
right.
can change
exactly.
that. But if it's dealing with an aspect of faith or morals, which is part of divine revelation or pertaining to it, it's matter for a dogmatic definition, okay? And so no reputable Catholic authority in history would question the dogmatic status of the bull I just read you. Okay, in fact, actually, I just remember this. Pope Leo XIII, by the way.
Not all bulls are dogmatic. And that's a statement of the Pope that was what?
It's a dogmatic definition of the Council of Florence. In fact, here's a point. Pope Leo XIII, it is encyclical.
What's the title of the canon?
It's a bull. Bull Cantate Domino. It's well known, okay?
I'm trying to look it up myself. I have resources.
And Pope Leo XIII, by the way, in his encyclical, Providentissimus Deus, on Sacred Scripture, he actually refers to this bull, another statement it made, and he says that it's solemn. That's another way of saying it's an ex cathedra pronouncement.
Okay.
So that proves that you have a pope himself, okay, reflecting on this teaching, saying that it is ex cathedra. It's unquestionably ex cathedra.
Right.
And so in Vatican II, throws that out the window and rejects that. It teaches that Jews, it doesn't teach that they are lost unless they're converted. It teaches that they're accepted by God. It teaches that Buddhism leads you to illumination. Okay?
No, it does not teach
that. Yeah, it does.
It does. It says that there are certain truths in certain religions that echo the truths in the Catholic Church, but they also say that, you know, the true Church of Jesus Christ subsists in the Catholic Church, which means that it embodies the Catholic Church. Okay?
Yeah, that's another...
Other episcopal bodies around the world that do carry part of that message. Not all of that message, but maybe part of that message and maybe less of it. But they do. Baptism for one.
You're trying
to say Vatican II is not...
It's definitely heretical. I just showed you.
It's wrong, and I'm just telling you...
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that non-Catholics can receive Holy Communion?
No, I do. Non-Catholics cannot receive Holy Communion. And
Vatican II teaches that they can.
No, they can't.
So you reject Vatican II's teaching on that. Orientalium Ecclesiarum number 27.
Where?
Orientalium Ecclesiarum number 27. Document on Eastern churches.
That's not what it's saying.
I can quote it for you.
The Eastern churches are not Protestant.
It's referring to the Eastern schismatics. They're heretical and schismatic churches.
But then again, they have a valid priesthood.
Doesn't matter.
That's like comparing apples and oranges.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is, because the Eastern Orthodox have a valid priesthood, and that can be traced to popes before John the 23rd.
Yes, okay. They have a valid priesthood. That's sure. That's not enough.
You agree with that they do.
Of course.
That they can confess the Eucharist validly.
Right, but that doesn't mean...
So that's the point.
Listen.
That's the point.
You're going to have to let me respond to this.
If a person is dying, that person is able to receive that sacrament, okay, from the hands of the Orthodox priest.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about we're talking about whether it's lawful to give communion to people who are not Catholic. The Orthodox...
It is not lawful.
Are the Orthodox Catholic?
The Orthodox are...
Are they part of the true church, or are they not part of the true church?
They are not part of the fullness of faith called the Catholic Church.
So they're not part of it, you agree?
No, they're not.
Okay, because they reject the papacy. So you would agree... The church teaches that they're schismatic and heretical. That's the teaching of the church.
You know, they could have taught that, you know, in that... Language can be changed,
It
doesn't mean it loses its virtue. And language is not what we're arguing about.
You're saying is pure modernism. Pure modernism.
I'm basically telling you that...
Listen.
I'm basically confirming you.
You're going to have to listen.
I can't go to an Orthodox priest and receive communion just happenstance.
Listen. It's a dogmatic teaching of the church that any person who rejects a Catholic teaching or the Roman pontiff or the hierarchy of the church is schismatic and or heretical. That's dogmatic teaching, okay? No one can change that. Okay, the Orthodox, schismatics, quote, Orthodox, they reject Vatican I, they reject papal infallibility, they reject the supreme jurisdiction of the Bishop of Rome, okay, and other things. And so they are heretics and schismatics in Catholic teaching. You would agree, and Vatican II teaches that they can lawfully receive Holy Communion. That is heresy.
That is heresy.
That is heresy. And I can quote you many popes who condemned any such idea. Pope Pius VIII in 1829, his encyclical, he said, Jerome used to say it this way, he who eats the lamb outside this house will perish, as did those during the flood who were not with Noah in the ark. He's saying anyone who's outside the body, as these, quote, Orthodox are, who receives communion, cannot receive it unto his own benefit, because he's outside the church. Because if you reject the faith, you can't benefit from the sacraments. That's a dogma. It's defined by the Council of Florence. Pope Gregory XVI teaches the same thing. Whoever eats the lamb outside of this house is unholy. Pope Pius IX, 1862, whoever eats the lamb and is not a member of the church has profaned. And so Vatican II teaches that
you're referring to non-dogmatic statutes.
No, I'm referring to...
dogmatic statutes.
Yes, they are.
They're
magisterial teachings.
You define to me in what council has defined what a dogma is. I can't believe I'm saying this. Dogmas are not teachings. Like just
you might want to look up the definition of dogma.
The Pope says is dogma. Is that what you're saying?
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, that's what you're saying.
No, it isn't what I said.
You're saying that basically a person who is... anathematized or is rejected because he doesn't accept the Catholic Church at a certain date in history, that has to be that way forever and ever, and no pope can disagree with that.
Yes,
that's
I'm saying that... You're going to have to let me answer. I'm certainly saying that it's a dogma that any person... Okay, it's a truth of revelation which Jesus Christ taught, that if you reject the Church or a dogma of the Church... You are outside the church and in a state of reprobation. Yes, that is a dogma Jesus Christ taught. He said, whoever refuses to hear the church in Matthew 18:17 is as the heathen. Okay, that is a dogma, a truth which Jesus Christ taught. The church cannot change that. The church can only define it, okay, and teach it. And that's exactly what the church has always taught. That's why Pope Leo XIII in Satis Cognitum, his encyclical on the unity of the church, where he covers all kinds of these issues, he says that if anyone were to depart in one matter from the official teaching of the church, he would be considered alien and outside the church's communion. That is a dogmatic teaching. So if you don't accept that, you are not Catholic.
Well, I just don't understand your premise. That's what I don't understand.
It's pretty simple. And
you're basically throwing everybody out. I mean, you know.
No, I'm repeating the church's teaching, which is that.
Yeah.
Which is that if you reject the teaching of the church, you are outside the church. And of course, if you haven't accepted baptism.
But you're saying that basically anything the Pope prescribes or says or officiates at in a council or a formal setting, somehow that is, you know, it's, you know, that's God's word through his ears. That's not true. That's just not what the church is about.
I didn't say that.
Dogma, doctrine, fine.
I never said that.
Not as
what I said is points of faith or morals. This is a point of dogma.
No,
okay, that's
not
what you need to wake up to.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
I need you to then tell me where it states that it is as you say it is. It does not.
Oh, let me ask you this. So you would say that outside the church there's no salvation is not a dogma. Would you say that?
Yes, I'm telling you that is not a dogma.
Okay, I can quote to you Pope Gregory XVI, who specifically refers to it as a dogma solemnly taught by the church.
I could just as easily quote to you a lot of things from the 4th century and 7th
century. No, you couldn't, actually.
You're going to disagree with.
No, you couldn't. You couldn't quote a pope teaching a point of faith or morals to the universal church, something I'm going to disagree with.
Okay, well.
And see, that's what you're saying is a denial of the papacy. And see, and you're proving that you don't really have any faith in the papal office. See, we're the ones that have the faith in the papal office. You don't.
Where is the pope
today? The chair of Peter is vacant, just like it is when a pope dies. But you don't even believe in what the popes throughout history have infallibly taught, so what do you care?
What do you mean I don't believe?
I just quoted you Pope Eugene IV of the Council of Florence defining outside the church there's no salvation. You reject that.
That's not a dogma.
Yes, it is a dogma.
No, it's not a
dogma. Listen.
And where do you get that's a dogma? What do you mean, wait, listen.
And look it up. Anybody would tell you that. Anybody knows that.
Did not claim to be a dogmatic council. So where do you go?
Well, you're switching issues. If you want me to get into that, I could.
I'm telling you that it never claimed to be a dogmatic council.
It doesn't have to. The First Council of Nicaea never said, this is a dogmatic council, but it taught a dogmatic truth.
We all know
it doesn't have to explicitly say, this is a dogmatic council to be a dogmatic council. It has to teach a point of faith or morals in a binding fashion on the universal church. Vatican II purported to do that.
No.
Yeah, it did.
Actually, John the 23rd was very clear.
Listen, we've covered all this.
The pastoral council.
That he was actually referring to the church's magisterium. He wasn't referring to the council. And also, his statements are irrelevant because it was Paul VI who promulgated Vatican II, and he's the one, at the end of every document, solemnly confirmed every point of its teaching, and at the end of the council, he said that all of its declarations must be religiously observed by all of the faithful. That means
all of its declarations, correct?
Right. That means that those
but
declarations.
That means everything the Pope says is a declaration.
Right. That's true. But that would mean that those things which pertain to faith or morals, okay, would constitute
correct.
Infallible dogmatic teaching. And in Vatican II, if he were a true pope, I mean, he wasn't. He was an anti-pope.
I think where I disagree with you is what you are calling dogmatic.
Well, as I'm trying to illustrate to you, you don't understand what is dogmatic and what isn't.
I understand what a dogma and a doctrine
No,
is.
You don't.
I understand what teaching is, ordinary magisterium
no.
versus non-ordinary magisterium.
You don't understand it. If you think that outside the church there is no salvation is not a dogma, then you don't understand it at all.
Well, where is it that I don't understand? Where am I going wrong?
Let me ask you this. Does whether or not the issue of whether or not people are saved, does that pertain to faith?
Yes.
Okay. Is that something that Jesus Christ revealed about? The eternal destiny of people?
Yes.
Okay, so you would agree it's a point of faith or morals which deals with the revelation Jesus Christ taught, right?
Yes.
That's matter for a dogmatic pronouncement. So when the church proclaims that this is what Christ taught to us, which we must believe about where people will go, that is dogmatic matter.
But you are presupposing something that somebody is saying. That you know, when if somebody is saying basically, okay, in Vatican II, there are those who, through no fault of their own, do not understand or know or have come to the grace or knowledge of the Catholic Church and you know of Jesus Christ and His Holy Catholic Church, they by their own they are saved through Jesus Christ, though they don't they don't have perhaps the in their minds, in their hearts, the concept of what that means. And we are a divided people. I mean, there are reasons for saying that. And every generation has a reason for, a council, and the reason for a council is to be able to, amplify and to clarify.
What you just said
why
is...
it's so hard for you to understand logically that, if you have never heard of something, how can you become criminal of it?
Because what you don't understand is that the church teaches. Well, listen, you just gave your piece.
You never knew.
You're going to have to let me answer that. Okay, the church has infallibly taught that all who die as non-Catholics are lost. It's our job not to question that. It's our job to accept that.
I'm glad that's on.
And there are reasons. Well, you're going to let me answer.
I'm really glad.
Are you going to let me answer?
That is totally false.
Will you reject Catholic teaching? That's how simple it is.
Well, you reject it, but you have to know it, sir. You got to know it to reject it.
No, there are many distinctions involved. I could explain it to you. Yes, really.
How is that? How can I know something if I have never heard of it?
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that unbaptized infants who die go to heaven?
Yes. Just like the man next to Jesus who simply asked him, told him, acknowledged his sorrow.
That's not a valid argument. Here's why.
It's a very valid argument.
No, it isn't. Can you let me answer? Will you let me answer? Will you let me answer?
Sure.
Okay, he was saved under the old dispensation. Okay? Church teaches that the law of baptism became obligatory after the resurrection. Okay, so that's like saying, well, Moses was saved without baptism, or Daniel was saved. It's not a valid argument.
Jesus was on earth. He was able to say, I'm sorry. I can't put you in the
paradise. Listen, you're going to have to let me make some more points, okay, to refute what you said.
That's how inefficient this whole thing is.
Do you realize that do you accept the dogmas of the Council of Trent?
Yes.
Do you realize the Council of Trent anathematized anybody? That means it condemns, excommunicates.
By the usage of this, of
no, let me finish. It condemns anybody who says that infants who die without baptism go to heaven.
That infants who go to heaven? That
it condemns anyone who says that infants who die without baptism go to heaven.
I agree with that.
You just said that infants who die without baptism.
But you're missing the point, teach.
Oh, boy. You just said
every word. You can't just say.
Did you not say?
If somebody doesn't know something, how can you condemn them? How can you condemn someone who hasn't heard?
You're diverting here from the issue.
No, I'm not.
Before I answer that.
He said teach. You said it too.
No,
he's the one that's changing the words.
The canon says that if anyone shall say, okay, I can get the exact wording, that infants, okay, who are born in a state of conceived in original sin, okay, who die without the water of baptism, go to heaven, let him be anathema.
If anybody believes that,
that's
correct.
Right, and that's what you believe.
But that's not the case today. You have to have. First, I'm going to look at that canon because I have all the canons of all the.
I'll quote it for you. I can get it right here.
And I will show you that it is something that has to be taught, and something that has to be. If somebody teaches that it doesn't have to be, then yes, they're in error and they're wrong. But if someone doesn't know anything about it. And if someone at the end of their death is,
here it is.
Sorry for their sin.
Council of Trent, Session 5 on Original Sin. Okay?
Session 5.
If anyone says that recently born babies should not be baptized.
If anyone says.
Right.
That's the key word. Okay.
If anyone, like you.
Yeah.
You were just saying things contrary to this. If anyone says that recently born babies should not be baptized, even if they.
Like
I guess you're not even going to let me read it.
Go ahead.
If anyone says that recently born babies should not be baptized, even if they have been born to baptized parents, or says that they are indeed baptized for the remission of sins, but incur no trace of the original sin of Adam, needing to be cleansed by the laver of rebirth for them to obtain eternal life, let him be anathema. Okay, so you say that they're all conceived in original sin. And so unless they're cleansed of original sin through the sacrament of baptism, they cannot obtain eternal life. That's a dogmatic teaching of the church. If you reject it, you are anathema. You were contradicting it earlier.
I don't know that that is spoken
in
the sense of condemnation.
It says, if anyone shall say, let him be anathema.
Right. And to who is that being
the universal
spoken?
Church.
That is being spoken to the bishops who are in the ecumenical council, who pass that on to their teacher, certainly the priest. If anyone
says if anyone says.
Right.
This is a dogmatic definition.
Where does it say dogmatic definition?
It doesn't need to.
Ah, I see, because you said so. Okay.
No, as I just pointed out earlier.
If something is dogmatic, it's got to be. If it's not, it doesn't have to.
What do you consider to be a dogmatic definition? Can you name one thing that you consider to be a dogmatic definition? Name it.
Immaculate Conception.
It doesn't use the word dogmatic.
That's fine. That's what the church.
Okay, so you admit that it doesn't have to use the word dogmatic to be dogmatic.
But the church has defined.
Right, exactly. You just made my point, that it doesn't have to say dogmatic to be dogmatic. Okay?
Are you going to be the arbiter for that? I don't choose to be.
The church has declared exactly what the conditions are, and the church has held, no one has questioned.
Do you know how many times the church, if I was speaking in your verbiage, has committed the sin of this type of scandal? You could quote 3rd century, 5th century popes, certainly.
No, you can't.
Pope Honorius. Yes, you can. You can make arguments over that.
I'm very familiar with that issue.
You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Right, and you don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
Pope Honorius is number one.
You reject papal infallibility. That's how simple it is. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You reject the dogma that popes, when they teach in a binding fashion to the universal church on a point of faith or morals, are protected from error. They're infallible. Okay.
Where I said that.
What's that? You reject this. I just quoted the Council of Trent. That's infallible. It's a point of faith or morals to be believed by the universal church, promulgated by the Pope. Same thing. You reject the Council of Florence, that outside the church there's no salvation.
I'm not rejecting it.
Yes,
the
you are.
The church is not rejecting it.
You are.
Things, through no fault of their own.
That is not church teaching. And you also believe...
You know what?
Then you're... What I'm saying to you is you're not a Catholic.
Right,
you're not a Catholic, and that's why, like, you won't be able to see...
The church doesn't have the right to bind and loose?
That does not... The church cannot change dogma.
The church only has the right to bind, but it can't loose.
Loose refers to forgiving of sins.
No.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
It
has a number of applications, and it involves a number of things, but it does not involve... You can't even name the first council of the church, and you're explaining to me what Catholic teaching is on this issue. You don't have a clue what you're talking about, and that's why these other things that I would cover in Vatican II, they'll be meaningless to you because you're of bad will. That's obvious. You're just a liar, like so many others out there.
You're covering things that I, you know.
You reject the Council of Trent. I mean, how can you possibly think that you're Catholic when you reject the Council of Trent's dogmatic teaching?
I'm rejecting a personal arbiter to say that, you know, this is, basically you're not acting any more differently than Martin Luther. Because you're basically...
No, actually, you are the one acting like Luther.
You should believe in what it should.
No, by the way, did you know that the Vatican II anti-popes have praised Luther? Did you know that they actually agreed with Luther?
Right, about reform.
No, Luther was a manifest heretic. I do not agree with the abuses that were going on and have gone on.
That
doesn't make him not a heretic.
Okay, but he was right about that, wasn't he?
He was right about certain things of abuses that crept in. So what? That means nothing.
That's what I'm trying to get at. Don't condemn the whole thing just because one part of or one element.
That's like saying that a diseased man who is dying has a healthy right leg. So what? It's meaningless. He's diseased and dying, okay, and so he's on his way to death. So the fact that Luther may have stated some true things, That's irrelevant. He was a manifest heretic.
It's not irrelevant.
Yes, it is.
I'm just saying he...
Everybody says some true things.
I'm not saying he was great and wonderful and let's...
Right, and so your point is meaningless.
Let's make him a saint, okay? I'm just simply saying that in some regards he had a point.
So what?
All right. So what?
Was he? Do you agree he was a heretic?
He's got every right to...
Do you agree he was a heretic?
Yeah, at the time, because he condemned a lot of doctrines, including the transcendental.
Right, and did you know that John Paul II and Benedict XVI have praised him?
Yeah, so?
Yeah, praising a heretic is to favor heresy. Okay.
Well, you got to understand something. You can also give honor to a book of Quran without agreeing with it either.
No, you can't. Okay, yeah. That's why St. Thomas Aquinas said that because you cannot honor the...
You cannot honor anybody in the world.
You cannot honor the holy book. You cannot honor the, quote, holy book of a false religion. Okay, if the book represents...
We cannot even you know, shake the hand of a person who is a non-believer?
No, that's different. That's different, but you cannot honor the, quote, holy book of a false religion. That's why St. Thomas Aquinas said that if anyone were to worship at the tomb of Muhammad or pay homage to the tomb of Muhammad, their false prophet of Islam, he would be deemed...
Well, no one has ever done that.
He would be deemed an apostate.
I understand.
Well, no, but Benedict the 16th and John Paul II, they've done the equivalent of that.
They've honored basically
Islam.
The religion.
That's,
okay?
Yes, that's apostasy.
There's nothing wrong with honoring a religion.
Yes, yes it is. There's,
no, there isn't. You're not worshiping at their God, okay? That's what that is saying.
No, it is absolutely heretical and apostate to honor false religions.
It's not to anybody's God. What are you talking about?
When you honor the religion, okay, that means that you honor the system of beliefs and praxis. Of course it does.
I honor my friend who's a Jewish rabbi. That doesn't mean I'm going to worship
the church. You're showing the invalidity of your argumentation and your inability to see these things by that statement you just made. You're switching from the issue of the religion to the person. Okay, we can talk about honoring the people. That's bad enough.
Yes.
But he not only does that.
Bad enough.
He honors.
Hate the people.
That's
what Jesus thought. Hate the people.
No, I didn't say that.
Yeah, well, that's what you're leading on to.
See, you're not capable of understanding true charity because you don't have the faith. And so true charity is foreign to you because you don't even have the foundational faith. Your problem is you don't believe in Christ.
You have thousands of materials in front of you, and you claim to think that you know everything, whereas I'm...
When did I say I know everything?
I'm working out of nothing. I took your call sincerely, and I'm simply...
Right, and I...
Anything that what you're saying is wrong based...
No, they're not.
The assertion that anything you believe is dogmatic is dogmatic.
No, I've demonstrated to you that it's dogmatic, and any person... You can even probably ask your apostate bishop there in Chicago. You can ask him, is the Council of Trent dogmatic? He's going to tell you probably, yes, it was.
Yes, it was.
Okay, and so the fact that you're arguing that it's not dogmatic...
doesn't mean that everything in that council was.
As I said, the points dealing with faith or morals...
are not all... Canons can be changed.
Not canons dealing with faith or morals and parts of Revelation. And that canon I quoted to you about...
setting yourself up.
That canon I quoted to you... No. This is the teaching of the church. This is the historical teaching of the church. Okay? Anybody who knows anything about traditional Catholic teaching, who has any level of fidelity to it at all, would admit that the Council of Trent's canons dealing with faith are dogmatic.
Yeah.
Okay? So the fact that you're denying that shows how far you are removed from real Catholicism. You're totally wrapped up in modernism. And see, one of the problems with most of people like yourself,
I'm simply telling you that not everything that the Pope says is dogma.
Here's another problem.
It is.
I didn't say that, and anyone who will listen to this will be able to see that I never said that. I said that those parts are dealing with faith or morals
but you're
to be believed.
Those parts. You are choosing whatever the Pope says is dogma. Whatever the Pope doesn't say, that is in line with...
You already admitted that the issues we talked about, such as salvation, deal with faith. You already admitted that.
Salvation deals with faith, yes. I have...
Right, and so what when the Church teaches something on faith, when it teaches on something on salvation, how you obtain it, okay, who gets it, and how they get it, okay, and what people have to believe about that, and original sin, these are matters of faith, These are matters of dogma. That's the point.
Well, the thing is you're making that arbitrarily. You're making that arbitrarily consider that.
Well, this is why St. Paul teaches you have to reject the heretic after the second rebuke, because with people of bad will.
How many heretics there are? I mean, you want to call everybody a heretic?
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I just want to. I call the people who are heretics heretics.
Any fingerprints, anything you see is a heresy.
How are you not a heretic?
That's how you see it.
You reject the Council of Florence's teaching.
But what teaching specifically? And
I even quoted to you Pope Leo XIII.
It's not that clear. Don't you see that?
It's absolutely clear to any honest person.
If it says, okay, there is.
But you don't even believe Christ is necessary. Let me ask you this.
No, I didn't say that at all.
Let me ask you this. Do you believe that a rabbi, who rejects Christ, can be saved?
If he doesn't know about Christ, how?
No,
can
I just
him?
Said. Well, he can't be saved either way. But I'm asking you.
You can't reject something unless you.
So
know.
You would agree that all the rabbis who reject Christ go to hell?
I don't know if they reject him or not. Obviously, they don't know about him.
Oh,
they don't
Lord.
Have the grace and the light to know him.
No, I'm asking you about I'm asking you about the rabbi in Rome, okay?
Yeah.
Who's met with anti-Pope John Paul II and said, dialogue means no proselytism. He knows anti-Pope John Paul II. He has no interest in becoming Catholic. Is he on the... If he died today, would he go to hell?
You know, it's between him and the deity. I'm not the one.
Okay, so you just proved my point. You don't believe.
No, I'm just telling you, I'm not the one that.
Right,
that's
and you're
to hell.
You're revealing.
If you judge someone to hell, you have to do that.
You're revealing.
I'm not going to do it.
You're revealing that you do not accept Jesus Christ's teaching and the Catholic dogma that all who die as Jews go to hell. You are therefore a non-believer.
No.
Yes. Yes, you are.
Definition of
you
that.
Are a heretic.
You're defining. That everyone who does not believe that the Catholic Church is the sure way to salvation is going to hell. That is what you are saying.
That is what the Catholic
you
Church...
You are very narrow-minded
the Catholic Church has taught that all who die as non-Catholics go to hell. It has taught that
That's
for 2,000 years.
That's not true at all.
Yeah,
that's simply dealing with the present moment. If you're dealing with Martin Luther and he is not, cooperating, then... If you're dealing with
you don't even believe that.
That's different.
What I'm saying is, what you're saying is false, but you don't even believe what you're saying either. Because I just point out to you, you believe that a person who knows of the Catholic Church, who is a Jewish rabbi, who rejects and knows and
he
rejects
doesn't
Christ.
Know. How could he reject something he doesn't know?
Oh, boy.
Come on.
I just asked you about a guy who knows of the Catholic
Church.
You just said you don't know if he's damned. You are a liar.
Well, if he knows, that's different.
You just said that you don't know if that person goes to hell.
If he doesn't know.
No. I asked you about the rabbi in Rome who knows. And you said, well, he still might make it because I don't know.
No. I'm just not going
to... Right. You're just a liar. That's
I'm
how simple it is. And you're an example why people go to hell for all eternity. Because they're liars and that's where they deserve to go.
I'm not going
to
judge him. Jesus himself said, don't judge lest you be judged. Do you want to be judged?
That is made in Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, and the very context is in denouncing hypocritical judgments. Because he goes on to say that don't cast the log out of your brother's eye if you have one in your own. Okay, so obviously he's condemning hypocritical judgments. That's why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 2, that's why St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, 2, that if you were to judge the angels of God, how much more the things of this world? So you have to judge certain things. You just can't make hypocritical judgments and judgments which are totally uncalled for. And so, but this is the truth.
Yeah. You should be speaking about error.
You don't believe in anything Christ teaches anyway. So,
what don't I believe that Jesus teaches?
I just quote it for you, that all who die outside of Christ and in rejection of him and or not believing in him are not saved.
That's not what he said.
Yeah, he says it throughout the Gospel of John.
Let me ask you, do you believe what Jesus said in this instance when he said that if you don't believe in me, at least believe in the works that I do? So what is
right, that was
saying?
That was in the context.
What was that all about?
That was in the context of trying to illustrate to the Jews that he is their Messiah and that they should accept him as their Messiah on the basis.
Saying about his works.
Listen, you going to let me answer or not? You going to let me answer or not? Okay, he's speaking to the Jews in the context of telling them that he is the Messiah. Okay, and he's illustrating that to them, that accept it for the sake of the works, that these miracles that I do.
Accept my works.
Right, and that's what he's saying, that accept me on the basis of the works. Right, but I'm illustrating, I'm telling you what the context is, and like a modernist heretic that you are, you refuse to see that.
I'm not worrying about someone's definition or context.
Here's one other thing I'll quote for you. This is from Pope.
Telling you, Jesus says, even if you don't believe in the in me, believe in the
Yeah, he's not saying that, if you look at the context there, he's not saying that you don't have to believe in me.
No, he's not saying that.
Right.
No,
so what's your point?
My point is that there are other means by.
No.
Whereby
no, he's not saying that at all.
He did.
No, he didn't.
He says, even though you do not accept me, believe in the works that I do. So he's already separating the two.
Right, no, he's illustrating to them, for those who were not yet convinced of him,
okay.
He's saying that if you do not yet accept me, okay, believe in these things I've done. Okay, believe right. For the sake of the miracles, and therefore accept me. That's all he's saying.
Well, he didn't say that part. But
yeah, well, that's why throughout the Gospel of John, he says in John 8 repeatedly, okay, if you do not believe in me, you will die in your sin. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Okay, you throw that out the window and trample it on it.
Not really.
Yes, you do. And no. You don't believe in the gospel. Don't tell me that you believe in the gospel. You don't.
I'm giving men and women the benefit of the doubt. The fact is that...
No, you have no right to do that. You have no right to do that.
I do have the right that if
no.
You don't know what God is telling...
That's not the teaching of the church.
Then it's not their fault.
That's not the teaching of the church.
Well, you know what? Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
You just don't accept Vatican...
No, you're a heretic, and that comes from...
Okay.
That's right. That's right. And this is Pope Gregory the 16th in his encyclical 1832.
Now, of course, you must disagree with Dominus Iesus, where it says that Jesus is a central figure in salvific history. You obviously disagree with that, too, because
but
that was written by Benedict.
And it also teaches that Protestant religions are a means of salvation. Okay.
It can be.
That's heresy. It teaches that Protestants
other,
are in
don't have any other.
Teaches that Protestants are in partial communion with the church. It it teaches that other religions, okay, like non-Christian religions,
yeah.
Are in some form of have some form of relationship to the true nature of salvation and may on some level have been intended by God. Okay, so it leaves it open that God may have intended these other religions as ways by which people are saved. That's heresy. And so Ratzinger also teaches, I don't know if you know, teaches that the leaders of the Eastern schismatic sects are members of the church. The leading bishops... Okay, like the major schismatic patriarchs, like the schismatic patriarch of Constantinople, he teaches that this papacy-rejecting heretic is
right.
A member of the church. Is that false?